Welcome to All Things Madison, the podcast exclusively for kids. Sure to tickle your funny bone while learning something new at the same time. You'll hear from talking bears.
Why that is such a big deal, I'll never know.
Laughing unicorns.
You guys are so funny.
Farting sloths.
Hey, watch it. I'm lactose intolerant. I'm only gassy when I drink milk.
Yeah, we're part of the show too. Even the folks in the dollhouse have a part.
Bonjour.
Hi.
Hey guys.
Hi y'all.
Hello. Don't forget about the rest of us.
Here's your host, Madison Lauren. Please enjoy the show.
Hey friends, welcome to my show. Well, technically my bedroom, but you know what I mean. Anyways, you might be wondering why it's called All Things Madison. Well, because I'm Madison, and it's about all the things I like. Like, I love all my stuffed animals and dolls, and I thought you should meet them. And of course, then there's my fave, Princess the Unicorn.
Oh, Madison, you're my favorite too.
You probably noticed that Princess is the inspiration behind my unicorn logo. Yep, that's her, my friend. And I like cooking my dad, creating new characters like my chimneys, who eat worms, talk in their own language, and fight with some very territorial birds. See? And I love learning new stuff and the latest funny TikToks. I also really enjoyed writing my new graphic novel, The Magnificent She-Ra's. So, what's the show about? Funny skits and segments, cool interviews, and behind the scenes, but mostly just trying to make kids and their parents laugh all while learning something new.
That's right.
Oh, hey, Daddy. I was just about to tell them that it's overall fun stuff for kids of all ages.
And families.
I also talk about the heavy stuff sometimes too, like ocean pollution, climate change, or deforestation. Cause it's gonna be up to us to fix it.
But keep it fun.
Right, now on to the show. Hello, Mr. Rahill, and thank you for being on my show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Okay, so I heard you had a bookstore. What
yeah.
What's that?
When I was in college here in Campbellsville, I saw that there was a need for a used bookstore. I love used bookstores. I travel all over the state to go visit them. Campbellsville didn't have one. So I, young and dumb and stupid, as my parents would say, I decided to open one and go from there.
Well, that is an amazing story, but now you have a cricket farm. So what's the deal with that?
Yeah, so flash forward, I finished college. I went to grad school, learned a lot about sustainability and alternate protein sources, and really fell in love with this idea of cricket, eating crickets as a way to combat food insecurity and things like climate change. So I spent several years trying to figure out how to make this a business. And in January, I finally took over the region's largest cricket farm. So,
wow, that is an amazing story. But do you live with the crickets or?
No, I don't live with the crickets. I get asked that a lot. I also get asked if they're free ranging. No, they all live in a barn. So I have about a 2,000 square foot building that they live in. These large wooden containers, and yeah, it's not in my house or anything like that.
Now, I never tried a cricket before, so yeah. What does it taste like?
So it kind of just depends. With the crickets that we make into human consumption, we have two product lines. I have crickets that I turn into whole crickets, so it would be flavored like white cheddar or garlic parmesan. Or barbecue, and those really just taste like potato chips. I get a lot of feedback that people are like, oh, that just tastes like a Lay's potato chip. A lot of people have to get over that ick factor, you know, you're eating a cricket, not a potato chip. And then the product line that I'm really excited about, because anybody can try it, even if they think crickets are icky, is the products that we use from our cricket flour. So we do a lot of granola bars, granola mixes that we take the crickets and we grind them into a flour, and then use that as the protein source, and bake it into, like I said, the granola bars or the granola.
Okay, do you have any samples?
Yeah, so today I brought a couple pouches of what we call our bourbon pecan cricket crumb, which is just granola that we make with the cricket flour. And so I'll give you here some. And so these little pouches have over 20 grams of protein in them. So super packed with protein, super nutrient dense. And it's delicious. So,
wow, are these for like humans or for spiders?
Yeah, so that's a good question. We do both. So this, the cricket granola that you have today, is definitely for humans. But that's just a new venture. For the last 50 years, the business that I took over has been the leading supplier of crickets for bait shops, for the zoo, the Louisville Zoo, and for pet stores. And, you know, of course, we also feed all our animals. So I have several lizards and a couple tarantulas that I feed my crickets to.
Really? I want to get a tarantula.
Yeah, they're a really cool pet. They can either be like a rock or they can be like a fish, in the fact that, you know, you don't do much with them. You feed them every so often, and then they just walk around their little cage looking like creepy little monsters.
So tarantulas eat crickets, right?
Correct.
And my dad said that's like, be my tarantula cricket when I get her.
Mm-hmm.
So do crickets get out easily?
So it can depend. You know, a lot of people keep them in these little cages called critter containers or critter cages. They're made of slick plastic so the crickets can't crawl up it. And then when it's time to go feed, that can be an issue. You got to be quick about it. Catch the cricket. What I usually do is I catch them in my hand and make a fist. And then I go over to my tarantula cage, open the tarantula cage up, and then just drop it straight in there. Some people use tongs. I feel like it's really hard to catch the cricket with a tong, you know, like it, basically thinking of like a giant chopstick, catching the cricket, and then you're asking to drop it in your bedroom or something, and it crawl around all over the place.
Do the crickets throw up in your hand?
Do they throw up in your hand? No, I've never had a cricket throw up in my hand.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, yeah. No throw up. You know, they don't poop or pee or in your hand when you catch them or anything like that. So,
okay. So, have you ever tried a cricket before?
Yeah, I definitely love it. I eat them on my salads all the time. This granola, I mix it in with ice cream. That way, I can pretend like, you know, I'm being healthy when I'm eating a big bowl of ice cream. And I just, I love it. It's you know, my partner and I are trying to be more sustainable. We've looked at going vegetarian in the past, and different things like that. Just trying to be mindful of our planet, be mindful of the resources that are available to us. You know, that's one of the things that we feel called to as people that care about the earth, is to really try to make sure we're doing our best part, and this is our solution.
Well, that is amazing. Now, our cricket protein.
Yep. So tons of protein packed in each cricket. By volume, you know, if I had a pound of beef right here and a pound of crickets right here, my crickets are going to have more protein than the beef. And so when you factor that in, factor in the amount of space you need to raise the crickets, factor in the amount of water you need to raise the crickets are like 1,000 times more sustainable than beef or pork or chicken or anything like that.
That is so cool. When you were younger,
yeah,
like let's say my age or something,
okay,
were you afraid of bugs, crickets in particular?
No, I've never actually really been afraid of bugs. I've always had an affinity for them. We went fishing one time, my family did, and we didn't use all the bait. So I took the bait home. I found a fish tank in the garage and took them home and set the fish tank up in my bedroom and started raising them.
What an interesting story.
Yeah.
I know that some people don't like crickets. Do you ever get criticized?
We do. We get a lot of criticism about from people that don't really understand why they should eat crickets, or that they're gross or and icky. We get that a lot. We also get a lot of people that aren't very intelligent and say very mean things. But, you know, that's the name of the game. You're going to have haters.
You're right. Since we have an audience here, let's see if anybody has any questions. Any questions?
So the question is, is it very expensive, a little
pouch? So right now, it is a little bit more of a pricier snack item. You know, we're looking at probably $3 to $5 for a serving size of either the bars or the granola or the crickets. So you know, it's not cheap, but at the end of the day, we believe we're providing a quality product that's high in nutrition, high in protein, mostly organic. So the value we believe is there.
Next question, please.
Yeah, so my question is, you said you have a big facility where you grow those crickets. Is the time span just like any other livestock? You have a time period where from start to finish, you have to sell them. How does the process go?
Did you get that?
Yeah, so, you know, he was asking about the lifespan of the crickets. What's the timeline from birth to production? And that's actually a really good question. So crickets, just like any other living thing, obviously have a cycle. From birth to living to death to whatever we produce it into. So the time frame that we basically operate on is a 6-week time frame. So for instance, I had babies that hatched yesterday. Those babies in 6 weeks will be what we call our adult crickets. And for our live sales, the ones that we're selling to the zoo or to bait shops, we sell all the way from 1 day old crickets all the way up to the adult 40 day crickets. So all the way, we sell between all those. With our the crickets that we turn into human food, we use the crickets that normally would just be thrown away because they're too old, or they have been bred. You know, they're being used to make new baby crickets, and they're not sellable as a live cricket. So those are the ones. You know, we're turning a waste product into, so it's even more sustainable. You know, when you start thinking about that, but we're turning those into the human consumption snack foods, which looks like, you know, so they live their 6 weeks. We freeze them, and that's the way that they're harvested is through freezing. And then after that, you know, we dehydrate them. They're already deceased at that point. We dehydrate them, and then either use them as a whole cricket or for our, you know, our powder products. We grind them into a flour, and then bake the products with it. So,
okay, we have time for one more question.
I was wondering if there's any part of the cricket that's not used.
That's a great question. Is there any part not used for human consumption?
So actually the whole cricket is used. So in that production part, you know, we let them live for a day without food or water. And that basically allows them, you know, to clean themselves out. And then they get frozen and ground. So it's the whole cricket, antenna, legs, body, you know, whatever organs are inside of the cricket, you know, it's the whole thing that's going into the production.
Okay, Mr. Rahill, well, we have to wrap up now. Thank you so much for your time. Where can we find you again?
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. Our website is bluegrasscrickets.com and our Facebook is Bluegrass Crickets. Look for the logo of the Kentucky with the cricket legs and you found us.
Well, it was nice meeting you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.